Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly, we give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on the broadcast today. Thank God for an opportunity just to talk about His divine word and to share the gospel that He has given us to share today. We're still talking about trust. That's what we're still talking about. And so we're going to keep talking about that. Hopefully, I'm hoping that we can wrap it up next week is what I'm really hoping. But anyway, we're going to go on with what God has said for today. But anyway, so thankful just to be alive and be well. And so we're so grateful for that. And we thank God for just the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we're thankful for that. And His peace compasses all understanding. So we're thankful for that. But anyway, we thank God for all of those that will be logging in, those that will be calling in, and those that will listen to the broadcast later. We're so thankful for that. We're thankful for those that join us here on the broadcast online and that they're able to talk, so we're thankful for that. So anyway, we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We glorify you and we magnify your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised. We thank God for being our God. We thank God for his mercy endures forever. We thank God that he's just awesome, and he's sovereign, and he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent, and he's omniscient. So we're so thankful for that. We ask you to, as God, we ask you to bless all those who have lost loved ones. Bless a friend of mine, Edwina Woodruff, who have lost her sister. We ask you to comfort that family as only you can. So many people have lost loved ones. Lord, we ask you to comfort them as only you can. Lord, let your mercy and just help them through this time of grief, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless all of those who have been affected by it. Oh, God, we ask you to bless those families and bless those people that are going through that. Bless all our health care professionals. Bless their healing to come forth. Bless all of our health care professionals all over this land and country, Father. We ask you to bless each and every one of them. Cover them with your blood and keep them safe, God. We're so thankful for your mercy shown toward them. Because during this time and during this hour, they are the ones that are on the front line, Lord, and we're asking to bless and bless our police officers and our first responders and our paramedics, our firemen, all of those, Lord, that are helping people out during this time, those that are helping people, making sure people have water and toilet paper and food and things like that, and helping the elderly and all of those people, Lord Jesus. In whatever capacity we have that we can give, let us be a blessing. Bless us, bless our churches, our men and women of God all over this land and country. Let them not be worried about the finances, because God, you are a provider to the church as well as the individuals, God. So we thank you, Lord, that every need was met today in our churches, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless our pastors and our men and women of God who are trying their best to get the gospel out to us so that we can continue to be encouraged. We thank God for that today. We thank God for encouraging us, and we just bless you as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So I'm so thankful for this opportunity. So we're still talking about trust, and when we talk about trust today, I know it's talked about trust. We're talking about, I was going to talk about Psalm 31 and how David was always so trustworthy of so even in the times of trouble, whatever times he was in, his trust, his total trust was in God. He always trusted that God was in control of whatever situation he was in. And that's what we got to think about today. We have to trust that God is in control of whatever situation it is that we are in, that we don't have to be. I know, sometimes this is a little trying right now because we haven't really been through this type of situation, and so some of us are not really sure. Praise the Lord. First Lady Jessie, we thank God for you for joining us today. But anyway, we're so thankful. Hey, beautiful to you too. And I thank God for you being on the call today. But we're trusting God through uncertain times because we haven't been through this type of situation before. So we're trusting God through uncertainty. And so when we have to do that, we just have to give it over to the Lord. We cannot try to think it through, or we can't try to figure it out, or none of those types of things. We got to trust God because this is something we haven't dealt with before. So if ever we needed to trust the Lord, this is the time that we need to trust in him. And we need to put our us to just put ourselves in God's hands and understand that he's in control and he is not going to let anything happen to us that you know, that he's not in control of. He's in control of all of this. And so they can keep trying to say it came from here, it came from there, whatever they're saying, that we're letting them say whatever they say. But we still know who is in control, and that is our God. Our God is in control. And so we're so thankful to know that and to be confident in who we believe in and who we trust. That's what we have to be confident in. And so I was just thinking about David as my story to talk about today and talk about, because David, one thing about David, he trusted God from the very beginning. If we just really think about his life, if we think about, you know, him being anointed three times before he ever became king and all of those things like that, and how many of us will go through that? I've been here listening to other people talk, and I've been listening to them talk about, that's right, Denise, praise the Lord, Elder Denise and Elder Timberlake is on the line. We thank God this too will pass. If we can't panic, if we don't panic, and we just stay focused on the word of God and who God is, and take advantage of this opportunity. I've been hearing a lot of people say, take advantage of this opportunity. I remember a message I preached years ago, probably when I was back in Indiana, and it was preparation precedes blessings. And so I remember talking about that message, because if we would think about now, if we begin to prepare ourselves while we have the time, while we are, you know, some of us are off of work, some of us are working from home, some of us, you know, there's the hours that we can't be out and about late at night because the stores are closing down. So they have kind of, you know, limited us from the things that we can do. God bless you, Elder Jesse, Pastor Jesse. God bless you. And so we are so thankful that we get the opportunity now. We have some time. You know, get you some rest. You know, get your diet back on track. Get your exercise going back. You know, kind of restructure your life so that it's going in a better place. Get your house cleaned up. That's why I told myself, I said, this week I'm going to get things cleaned up and get things put in perspective and just get things in a better way instead of everything being in havoc because you're so busy running to and fro. So I'm just thankful that I told them I was just thankful I don't have to drive an hour and a half to work right now. I'm thanking God that I get to work from home. I'm so thankful for that because I'm a contractor, so they didn't have to do that, but I'm so thankful to God that he blessed me to continue to be able to work. And so I'm thankful for that. And so we just got, this is a time to be thankful. If you got a roof over your head, it's time to be thankful. If you got family, if you got somebody checking on you, it's time to be thankful. Because we have so many things to thank God about. If we're in our good health and in our right mind, we have to be thankful. Because God is moving by his power. So this is a time, I've just been rethinking myself. Now I'm going to start to say this and then I'm going back to my lesson. But I've been rethinking myself. You know, this is a time to save more. You know, get your budget in order. Get all those things done. You got time to get this stuff together. You know, get your projects lined out that God is giving you to do and begin to pursue them. And pursue them without fear. We don't have to fear. We trust in the Almighty God. And so if he has given it to us, he's going to help us through it. So this is a time to get it going and get things going and to research and do those kind of things. Why you got the time? Well, I couldn't do it. I was too busy. Now you're not busy. You're at home. We might be in here about another 2 weeks, maybe another 6 weeks. We don't really know. But whatever it is, take this time for preparation. Because I believe, like I think I've heard so many people say it. I think even my minister of music was saying, you know, this is a time to begin to prepare for things and to really, you know, get yourself in order. Whatever it is, you're at home, get stuff going. Get these ministries going. Get what you're doing. This is a time for you to even be an evangelist. You can encourage somebody every day with the word of God. If it ain't nothing but a scripture, just go on and put it out there. You don't know who needs to hear that word of God. And so these are some of the things that we need to be doing. And then the next thing is, we, I told myself, I said, Denise, we're going to get ourselves together and start saving the money. I know everybody's excited about the $1,000 stimulus, but I say save the stimulus money. I say don't go spending, go running around spending all your money and stuff like that. This is an opportunity to save your money. And I'm going to get back to my topic on trust. But this is an opportunity for that. You know, if they send you the $1,000, go out there and look and get on Robin Hood or Acorns or something and start putting your little money in the stock market. Because that's what they're going to do. The rich is going to do that. The stock market doesn't drop. They're going to buy. So then when it starts going back up, they're going to be even more millionaires. Hey, Felicia Goodman, Kirkman, God bless one of my classmates. Thank God for you being on the line. I am so excited about this. Pat Carson, thank God for you being on the line. And my friend Phil French is watching. God bless you all. Now, Phil, if you want to call in, y'all can call in so y'all can talk if you want to. But anyway, I'm just so excited. Pastor Jesse, if you want to call in, talk, come and call in. I think the numbers on Facebook is on the thing. But and anybody, because I have no respect to person to that. You got a word, you got something to add to what we're saying, call in, and so you can be audible. But anyway, this is a time for us to kind of redo some things in our own personal lives so that we can be able to, praise the Lord, Minister David Lattimore, we can be able to, you know, regroup some things. You know what I'm saying? I told myself, I ain't spending no money. I was doing my taxes last night. Praise the Lord, I'm going to get something back because last year I had to pay a whole bunch. And so I was thankful for that because what I'm going to do is save it. I said, I'm going to save my money. I said, I'm getting a whole new mindset about things. So this is a time for us to kind of rethink our lives and rethink what we're doing so that we can get better at this. We don't have to keep going out. They want us to go out and spend all our little money so we can reboot the economy. Isn't that interesting? So we can reboot the economy so then they can keep getting richer. No, we don't have to do that. We put it in the bank. How about that? Let's save. Now, you got to spend it, and you know, you got to pay something, then do what you got to do. But if you don't have to, then don't go out. And there ain't a pair of shoes you need. There ain't a dress you need. There ain't no gadget you need. I mean, save it and let it sit over there and make a little change. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, let's go back to this. So I was talking about David because David is my person today. And I was talking about him. So, you know, in the book of Samuel. So with first one, Samuel, I'm trying to, anyway, let me keep on. Anyway, so in the book of Samuel, so it talks about David's first anointing, right? Because, hey, Rodney, praise the Lord. And so anyway, how this is David's story is such a good story because, and it kind of fits with what's going on today because we're in hibernation, I'm going to say it. We're having to be closed in. And so, but I believe, I think I heard Pastor Hannah, even my pastor say today, you know, this is a time for us. He said it on one of those things, times he was on Facebook. This is a time for you to, and he went all the way back to Genesis, but I remember him, Pastor Hannah saying, this is a time for you to prepare. This is a time that God is protecting you, time for you to prepare, and then God is going to launch you. So some of you all been sitting on them gifts. You've been sitting on that ministry. You've been sitting on all this stuff, being in fear. Mm-mm, this is a time to get yourself out of fear because you can get on here and say a good word and give a word. If it ain't but one scripture, you're on here 5 minutes. Do it 2 minutes and say it and come on off of here. This is a time for you to evangelize and do what God has called you to do and all of these things. So here we go back to David. And even though it don't look like that God is he's pushing you out there like you see other people pushing out, here we go with David. Now here goes the perfect story right here. So David was anointed king 3 times before he actually became king. But what God was doing in all of those situations that he took David through, he was preparing him for the kingship. So it's kind of like with Joseph. When Joseph first dreamed those dreams, you know, when he first dreamed those dreams and he went and told his brothers that they were going to bow to him, and even his father, Jacob, got a little, he was like, I'm going to bow too. But then Jacob, one thing about him, he was in the spirit, so he considered the matter, right? He thought about what he was saying. Come on here, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomso believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loves each and every one of us. We got to make sure we know that that's the truth. Don't be over here discouraged, talking about, well, Lord, I can't get out the house. I don't care, but I'm glad about it. If I got to stay in here and get some stuff done, I'm excited about it. So get excited about those types of things. And, you know, and don't be so worried about, call somebody. Don't be over there sitting by yourself and feeling lonely and isolated. Get on the horn. That's what I say. Get on there and run your mouth. I know one of my friends on here, Denise Montgomery. Now, you know, I know Denise. Denise don't really like to talk on that phone, but I've been running my mouth calling her every day. I know she'd be like, ooh, Jesus. But anyway, she's still been talking to me, so thank you, Denise, because I'm telling you, sometimes I get over here by myself, you know, and I don't want to be over here talking to myself. You know what I'm saying. But anyway, let me go back to David. So here David had been anointed king 3 times. And so in the first time he got anointed king, we know the story. You know, his father, Jesse, he had 7 other brothers. He was number 8. So he had some other brothers. So when Samuel came to the house, God led Samuel there. And this is something. When it's for you, it's for you. When it don't matter who looks like what or who looks like what. If somebody, this is a word for somebody that. When it is for you, it's for you. Because the one thing about that, when Samuel came to the house, when Sam went to Jesse's house, and Jesse began to, hey, Velvet, God praise the Lord. When Jesse began to bring them sons out, he brought out Eliab first, and he brought those sons out. You know, they were kind of looking like Saul because Saul was tall and good looking. You know what I'm saying? so his other sons were tall and good looking. So when they came out, Jesse was like, well, surely this must be the one. But God told him, don't look at the statue. Don't look at none of that. And so every time he tried to pour that oil, it would not come out. He could not anoint them as the next king. And so then he told me, because he only sent the seven out, he left David on back here with the sheep. And so, but anyway, and he didn't know that the sheep was preparing David for the kingship, to be king. The sheep was preparing him for that. The time when he rescued the sheep out of the mouth of the lion and out away from and from the bear, and he fought them and he won those battles. Those battles were preparing him on how to protect the sheep, which is us. Our shepherd is Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. He is protecting us. He's protecting us even now. He's delivering us out of the mouth of the lion. He's delivering us out of the mouth of the bear. He's delivering us from the coronavirus. I don't care if you even got contact with it. God is able to deliver. God is able to set us free. We got to believe the report of the Lord on everything. We can't believe the report nobody else is telling us. The report of the Lord says, by his stripes, with his stripes, I am healed. So I'm going to always confess healing. I hear people all the time talking about, well, you know I got this, and you know I got that. Yeah, it may be fact. It may be what the doctors are saying. It may be fact indeed. But that don't mean it's the truth. The truth is that with his stripes I am healed. That's what I know. And so I hang on to what I know the truth is. Hey, Dr. McCoy, I hang on to what I know the truth is about what God's word says. I'm going to believe God's word. I don't let people confess stuff over my life. I don't confess. I try my best not to confess stuff over my life. And when I catch myself, I rebuke it right then in the name of Jesus. I will rebuke something. And I'll say, devil, you a lie. Say, the Lord rebuke in the name of Jesus. I don't confess that. And so those are the things that we got to do. But anyway, going back to David, I'm trying to stay on my topic. David was anointed. So then he was out there with the lion and the bear and the sheep, and he was doing all of that. And then it was so that even his father, when he got ready to talk about it, hey, Sheila Snow, these are my classmates. When Jesse said, do you have another son? He said, yeah, I got one. He's out there with the sheep. He said, he's ruddy and all of that. Now, you know, he must have had some fine sons because they were nice looking like Saul, but David wasn't a bad looking one on his own. Man, he might have called him ruddy and said he was back out there with the sheep. But when he brought him forward, this is what I'm saying, don't matter what you look like, don't matter what you think you don't have, when you have the Holy Spirit working with you, that anointing is on your life, God can do the miraculous with you. God can do some things through you because your heart is right. He's looking at the heart of the matter. All the rest of them might have been tall and good looking, and he might have said David was ruddy, but when David came out there, the heart of David is what God was looking at, and the anointing oil began to pour. I'm telling you, some anointing oil is going to pour during this time of incubation. I'm saying it just like it was for Israel when they were in slavery for 400 years and they were down in Egypt. They were incubating. They were growing. They were multiplying. They were doing all these things. It might have been rough. It might have been tough. It might have been hard. But God was blessing them. He was multiplying them as he told Abraham. He said, your people are going to be enslaved for 400 years. He said, but I will surely visit them and I will bring them out. Even when Joseph got ready to leave, when God got ready to die, he told them, he said, this is what's going to happen. He said, but when y'all leave here, take up my bones out of here, because he said, God surely will visit you. God surely will visit us. He will do us the same way. He's not going to leave us in these situations. God will visit us. God will bring us out. Praise the Lord, angels. He will bring us out. So we got to be excited about that. We got to understand what the word of God says. Well, this end time stuff ain't nothing else. We know it's coming to pass. But what we got to do is be like them five wise virgins, have our lamp trimmed and burning bright. That's what we got to do. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. This is a time, if you don't have no prayer life, honey, develop one. Get up in the morning, and just give some time to the Lord. Pray. Pray on the way to work. Some of y'all got long commutes like I used to have. When I get to get up there, I go on 20. Then by the time I get up there on 287, I would start praying. I'd pray all the way to 30 and all the way to the job. I would just start praying and believing God. And I had already prayed. That wasn't my first prayer time. But anyway, I had went on and prayed again because there was some things going on in the atmosphere that I didn't have any knowledge of at the time. But then when I found out what was going on, then I said, oh, now I understand why I kept praying when I got to that section. And so the Lord began to bless. So we got a whole lot to do. But anyway, so he was anointed King Lear. And then God sent him right on back out there with them sheep. He sent him right on back out there with them sheep. He didn't go up there and take Saul's place at the time. Matter of fact, what happened after that, and I couldn't read all this, but I'm trying not to read. I'm just going to go on. And Elder Tim Blake, you got anything you want to say?
Oh, no, go ahead, honey. Go ahead.
Okay. Just flat on. But anyway, David went back out there with the sheep, and the reason why God put him back out there with sheep, praise the Lord, Ellen, and so the reason why he put God back out there with the sheep is because he still wasn't ready. He wasn't ready yet. Same thing with Joseph. We can look at the patterns of these lives right here. All of this points to Christ. All of it points to Christ. They're all types and shadows of Christ. And so here it was with Hafer, and then so here it was with Joseph. Joseph had that dream. He told it to his brothers. His brothers didn't like him already because he had that coat of many colors, and his father favored him, and even his father was questioning him about that. So Joseph had to go to the pit. He had to go to Potiphar's house. He had to go to prison. He had to go. Then he was able to go to the palace, and that took some time, but the reason why he had to go through all of that because he wasn't yet ready to do what God had told him to do. He wasn't ready, so when he went through all these things, he was ready. So some of you all have been going through a whole lot. And you've been going through a whole lot, but you got to trust that God has got you going through these situations because, praise the Lord, Albert, he's my classmate, and Ellen's my classmate. And so, anyway, he's taking you through all of these things because he is preparing you for what God has intended for you to do. We have got to, praise the Lord, Sam, we have got to be, don't stop worrying about all the stuff we're going through and take it into consideration. God is preparing me. This is preparation time. It is time for us because our generation, now my generation right here, and I got a lot of my generation on the line, and we got some work to do. Now, all of you that got kids, y'all probably been pouring into your kids, but some of us, we got some work to do to pour into this generation behind us. We have to do what Moses was doing when I talked about, remember, I talked about Moses a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about how Moses got up and he preached the whole book of Deuteronomy, at least I think up to the chapter 28, at least that's praise the Lord, at least God. Up to the 28th chapter, he preached that whole book in one day. Because on that same day, Moses understood he was going to die. He said, after he finished preaching, God said, go on up to the mountain because you're going to get to look over into the promised land, but you're not going to get to go because of his disobedience. That's the rock. You know, people got on his nerves. And so instead of him speaking to the rock like God said, he smote the rock. And so that was like crucifying Christ afresh. And so God punished him for that. Hey, praise the Lord, Frida. And so we have all these things going on. But anyway, so what I'm saying is that God is preparing you for what God is wanting you to do. Don't keep being afraid to do it. So anyway, so here we go with David. So David had went back there to the sheep, right? He was back over there with them sheep. And then next thing you know, Saul was having mental issues. And so Saul was having some problems. So he was having an evil spirit was coming upon Saul. And so David used to play that harp because he was out there playing it out there in the mountains when he was out there with the sheep. He was already a worshiper then. He didn't just become a worshiper. He was already worshiping even out there with the sheep. And so David began. He got called to the king's house, and he would play, and the evil spirit would run out of Saul. And then David and Jonathan, which is Saul's son, they became closely knit. And because of that, because of all that he was taking, he was preparing him for the kingship. Because when he got to be king, he had a whole lot of drama. We remember that. He had Absalom running after him. He had all them sons cutting up, them kids cutting up. That's why you got to get the kids in check. Because if they're not in check, they will come against you. That's a perfect example. We saw it so many times. Eli's children, even Samuel's children, and David's children, they was cutting up. And so if we don't get them in order and get that generation behind us, to know God like they're supposed to know him. That's why Moses got up on that day, and he began to reiterate all that God had done, because that generation there was getting ready to cross into the promised land. The other generation had died out. Wasn't nobody left but Joshua and Caleb and Moses at that time. And then when Moses died, they went on across to the promised land. But he needed them to know how good God had been to them. All the things that God had brought them out of. I remember I did a poem, did a spoken word poem back in 2017 at the Mega Fest, and I did it, and it was about generations. And I remember saying they went into into the land. They went into the land. I won't quote out because I haven't went over it in a long time. But anyway, I remember saying this. I said they went in the land in a famine, and then they came out in a billionaire status. So don't think. So we might be looking like we get ready to be in a famine, because if you go in them grocery stores, you're thinking, Lord, have mercy, they know nothing's on. It's hardly nothing on the shelf. I mean nothing. No meat, unless you're a beef eater. Nah, I'm not that. But anyway, it's hardly nothing on the shelf. I said, woo-wee, what is really going on? So it looks like it's a famine situation going on. And so even that, you remember when the famine came, Joseph saw 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And when he went through the 7 years of plenty, he used to put back the fifth part. That's what I'm saying. Let us put back some savings so that if something else happens, we are better prepared. And we won't be sitting up here talking about, oh, my God. We don't have to do that because we will be better prepared. Joseph put back the fifth part, and so then when the famine came, he was feeding all the land. He was feeding all the land. Hey, Phyllis. Hey, Elder Marable. We thank God for each and every one of you joining us online. But I'm telling you, the Lord is so awesome. If we just think about how good he is and how we can trust him in the times of uncertainty, how we can trust him when we don't even have an answer. We can just trust in God because he is our answer, that's for sure. God is our answer. So if you want to know something, go to God in prayer and let him talk to you about it. Get still somewhere so you can hear what God is saying. But I'm telling you, don't be discouraged when you go in there and say, Lord, they still don't have no toilet paper. They still don't have no, praise Lord, Phil, and they still don't have no paper towel and no water and stuff like that. Now, you know what? I said, Lord, why do I keep going back to the store? Because I keep buying some every time I go back. So if you just need some bottled water, I got some over here for those of you in the city. And if you just need some toilet paper, I might got a little extra for that and some paper towel, I got some. So anyway, because the Lord told me just buy it, and so you're going to be so in case you need to be a blessing. I said, okay, Jesus. Anyway, I said, because if don't nobody come get it, I'm gonna be good for a while, understand me. And so anyway, going back to David. So then David, you know, then he went through all the stuff with Saul, and then Saul was after him because Saul got jealous because after he killed Goliath, because even with the Goliath situation, let me read this because I thought it was really good, so I may not say. The one thing about David put his life in God's hands. I know I got so excited, I talked so fast. Something went down the wrong way. Anyway, David was so excited. He just trusted everything to God. He trusted his life to God. He said, Lord, my time is in your hands. My life is in your hands. And right now, our life is in God's hands. And then when you think about that, Jesus said the same thing when he was on the cross. He said, I commit my spirit. He committed his life to God. Even Stephen, when he was being stoned, if you read Acts 7 and 9, I think it is, it talked about Stephen. And Stephen, even though he was being stoned, he committed his life to God because he knew at that time he was passing from this earthly life to the eternal life with God, but he was still in, God was still in control of all of that. And so not that I'm saying we can right pass to an eternal life, but if God take us on, guess what? If we got our lamps trimmed and burning bright, we're good. We're going to be good. But the one thing about David was when he started going through all of that stuff and Saul was chasing him and all like that, and God just kept delivering him, And then he was over in the cave, and he was on there. He got the opportunity. He got up on Saul, but he never would touch him because he said that is God's anointing. He wouldn't touch him. So let me say that while I'm on that little passage right there. For all of you saying negative stuff about your pastors right now because they are closing the doors, they're trying to be obedient. The Bible tells us, I believe it's in Romans, where it talks about us obeying the government and us obeying the laws of the land and things like that. So we got to understand that this is just where we are. But praise God for how he prepared for it all along with the technology and all of these things for us to still be able to be connected, still be able to be in service, still be able. This is a good opportunity for you to invite your friends that don't know the Lord. You know, I invited somebody this morning. I invited them to church this morning so they could hear. I said, you ain't got no excuse now because you ain't even got to get up to go. You can sit there in front of your computer, be ashy and all of that, and still get the word of God. So, and for those that are still able to have service, thank God for them. So don't, you know, just let's go. But let us please support the ministry because the ministry still got to go on. We still going to want the ministry to go on after this is over. So we still need to support the ministry. Praise the Lord. We still got to do it. So anyway, I done got way out of my talk. I was talking about trust. That's what we were talking about. We were talking about trusting God through uncertainty. So what I was talking about, David. So then David got anointed. Let me go down here so I can get all these anointings because he was anointed first in 1 Samuel 16. Samuel anoints David as king after God basically kicked Saul out of position, because, you know, Saul got himself kicked out of position. He, you know, he rent the kingdom from Saul because Saul was disobedient. God does not like disobedience, I'm telling you. So I know sometimes we say we get in the past, but really he does not like, he said it over and over and all these things. Then the next time he got anointed as king, let me see, I got down here somewhere, his second anointing, got anointed for king, and then people judged by our sins. Okay, no, that's not where I was. I lost my place. So anyway, let's keep on. So anyway, then he got anointed king again. He got anointed king the third time. And when he got anointed the third time, I think he became king of Judah first, and then he became king of all of Israel. So that's kind of how that went. But he went through a process. He went through a process. It's just like with Abraham. Abraham was told, God said, I'm going to give you a seed, and your seed was going to be as much as the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea and all these, the sand on the beach and all that stuff. He didn't say beach, but he said the sand. It would multiply like that. But it was years before Isaac came along. I mean 15 or more, I think, before Isaac came along. And, you know, they jumped in there and put Ishmael in the place. And so, but it was years before Isaac came along. But what I'm saying is sometimes God takes his time. Our time is not his time, and all of that. And we don't even know how long this whole situation is going to go, but we have got to trust God regardless. And if God made us a promise, this is one thing about him. He's not going to lie. Now, we don't know if that stimulus check or none of that stuff is coming, because they're saying stuff, but we ain't following, you know. We have to, that proof got to be in the pudding for that. But when God promises us something, it may take some time, but it will come to pass, because his word will not return unto him void, and he will not. He's going to keep his promise. So if God has promised you something, just hold on and wait. Hold on and wait and trust him through the process. Trust him through the process. Yes, Elder Marable, they went through a process. They went through a process. Joseph went through a process. David went through a process. We are going through a process. Trust God in the process, because I'm telling you, hey, Virginia Montgomery, I tell you that when God takes us through the process, when we come out on the other side, we're going to be all that God. Look what they ended up being. David's process was really a type and shadow pointing to Christ. Hi, Regina Edinburgh. It is really a point of them pointing to Christ. All of this always points to Christ. Isaac's situation, when Isaac was taken up on the up there to Mount Moriah, Abraham took him up there to sacrifice. That was a type and shadow of Christ. David's situation is a type and shadow of Christ, because God, Jesus was what? Both prophet, priest, and king. And so he went through three things. He went through three things, and so it points to Christ. And so we got to understand that everything is pointing to Christ, but we have to. David has such a heart for God. It's all a heart matter. We got to make sure our heart is right with God, and that our heart is for God no matter what. We can have money, we can have success, we can have all of these things, but if we don't have God, we don't have what we need. And I was really going to come out of the Psalms 31 and talk about these 38-fold trust of Christ, but I got excited when I jumped out there, and I said I got too excited. But anyway, one thing I do know is that David had committed, and I just want to read some of these, though, too, because I thought they were really, really good. It was talking about in Psalms 31, and I won't read that, because we don't, what time is it? Oh, we got time. Okay, well, I won't read it too, because it's a long chat. But anyway, in the 38th, well, maybe I better say something, at least get the first verse out. In Psalms 31, and 1 says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." So he talks a lot about, and he writes a lot of psalms about trusting God, just about trusting God. And so we got to understand that's what we got to do. He talks about in that Psalm 31, if we read that whole thing, he talks about a lot of things. He says, "In you I put my trust. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my strength. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You are my you have redeemed me. He's talking about all the things that God was doing for him. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. You have considered my troubles. You have known me in adversity. You have not permitted the enemy to overcome me. And just on and on and on and on and on. That's one of my favorite scriptures too. That Psalm 31 is just one of my favorite scriptures. And he said, you know, he just goes on and on and on, but there's so much in that particular scripture. He had 18 requests in that particular scripture, and then he had 8 secrets of answered prayer, 16 blessings to those who pray, and it was just a lot that they kind of outlined about that particular scripture. But so we have to understand that because if our heart is right, David's heart was right. Now we understand he was brave. He was confident in God's power and trust that God will see him through. David has truly a grateful heart. Go ahead, Elder Timberlake.
Elder Bryson, in talking about David, we think about how he had built a relationship with God, even as a child. And so when he faced it, had the opportunity to came to adversity, he had a proven record with God, and God had a proven record with him. And in listening to you talking about building a better relationship with God through trust, this is an opportunity for us to reflect on what God has already done for us, because I just know many of us have been through many hard times and hard trials, and God has brought us through. We cannot afford now to allow the enemy to distract us and get focused on what we see with our natural eye and what we're experiencing in our natural bodies. We have got to stay focused on the ultimate one who is in control, as you said earlier, of everything. God already knew this was going to happen. He was not surprised. And if we are keeping our horns to the plow, we won't either. We our flesh might get weary and might get to wavering a little bit and start trembling, but our spirit man should stand tall and stand strong, knowing that he who has begun a good work in us, he promised he would complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if he said it, it will be. So we've got to trust God because he's been faithful. And sometimes we get overwhelmed and we can't think of one thing, but we got a memory. As long as God has given us a memory, all of us, especially believers, especially those of African-American descent, if you know anything about your history, you know what your ancestors have gone through. You know if they hadn't gone through that, you wouldn't be where you are today. So it's the same thing. They were praying to God under pots and under this and under adverse situations. Here we are again. And I was just thinking while you was talking, as a kid, they used to tell us, get this word in you because it's going to come a time you might not be able to get to church. You might not be able to do this. You need to get the word in you. So we need to get that word in us. If we got to get it on the internet, but if you can't get to the internet, Facebook, we should be reading that word on a constant basis. If we haven't been doing it, this is the opportunity for us to search our hearts to repent, because David was notorious for repenting because he had a heart after God. All of us have sinned, the word said, and have come short. But if we have a heart after God, we should be humble enough to repent and ask God to forgive us and get back on track and get on the right road that God has called us to be on. Go on and do what God has called us to do in these last and even days so we can fulfill our destiny and purpose. We don't have time to get distracted. We got a lot of work to do. We see the world is in trouble, and we need this. God wants us as soldiers to be on the front line, just like those doctors and nurses on the front line with this virus, trying to help the people physically. The people of God got to be on the front line, holding up the bloodstained banner and interceding in heaven like never before, and standing strong and not falling weak like the world, but standing strong because we know in whom we believe, we know who we are, and we need to stand on that. If we're not there yet, then we need to ask God to strengthen us and give us the boldness and the courage to hold on to see what the end's going to be, because we know this too will pass. It has come, but it won't stay forever. It will pass, and we got to have that faith. We got to have the tenacity and the fortitude to hold on and say, like Job said, though God slay me, I'm yet going to trust. That's why we got to, we're going to trust God, in the hard times, in the good times, with a job, without a job, about to lose a job, with money, no money, bank account going empty, some kind of way. If God can put money in a bottle to pay some taxes, he can sure put money in our bank account. He can touch somebody's heart. He can do anything. So we got to trust our supernatural God, who we say is sovereign and can do anything. Now, we need to walk the walk and talk it and stand on the word of God to know that if he spoke it, it shall come to pass, and to know that he sees us. He knows every heartache, he knows every pain and every situation, so we got to trust him to know that he's going to work it out. If he has not removed it yet, there's a reason. So we're going to trust him and walk through that process, as you just said, until we can see and get on the other side. But we're going to stay on the ship, even if it's broken. We're going to stay until God deliver us. That's the attitude we need to have when we're trusting God.
Yes, that is it, when we're trusting God. And if there's somebody out here saying, well, how do I start trusting in it? How can I do that? The one thing we cannot do, if we don't know him, we can't trust nobody we don't know. It's like in a marriage situation. If you don't really know them, you can't put your trust, you can't trust them. And so if we're going to begin to trust in the Lord, we have got to begin to know the Lord. And the only way you can know somebody is by spending time with them. That means spending time in conversation with them. That means spending time in prayer, spending time getting reading to get to know them. If we want to know something about Martin Luther King or Abraham Lincoln, we got to go to the history books, because they're not here anymore, so we won't get to know them face to face. The only way we're going to know anything about them is if we begin to read and to study. And so the same thing it is with God. We got to read and we got to study the word of God, and we got to stay in prayer, stay in conversation with him. That's how we begin to build our trust in him. And I think I said last week, let me go up here and get these definitions, because sometimes I think, you know, we think, and faith and trust are two different things. They're kind of intertwined, but they're not. Because it said I think it was Nelson's Bible Dictionary, defines faith as belief or confident attitude toward God involving commitment. But the other dictionary better, because it says faith is strong belief in someone or something without logical proof. Now that's what faith is. That's what faith is. We don't have no logical proof for it, but we believe, we have the faith for it. It's just like if we think about, and I remember I was going to talk about this last week. I was talking about Sarah. That's what I forgot that. But anyway, and then trust is a firm reliance on the character or integrity of another. See, David had a firm reliance on the character and the integrity of God. When David went up before Goliath, the one thing he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would come, that would defy the army of the Lord?" He said, "Who is this? This is we the Lord's army. Who are you trying to come up against God? We're God's people. Who are you to try to come up against God?" And that's why he was able to go and defeat that giant, because he believed God, he trusted God, his confidence was in God, and he knew God was the one that was going to fight the battle. That's what David knew about God.
You know, Elder, and when David went up there, when he went, he was going at the order under his he just went to take his brother, check on his brothers. He didn't go there and to fight with knowing he's going to have to fight Goliath. He didn't go there. He didn't know that. But what he did, but when he was faced with that giant, he depended on the one that was greater than that giant. That's why we got to, that's the attitude we got to have. The same thing that he had. These things, we didn't know it was going to happen like this. We weren't expecting this. This caught us all off guard. Humanly caught us off guard. But we got to know, like David did. David said, you know, he helped me to kill a bear. He don't help me to kill the lion. You ain't nothing. So that's what we got to tell the devil about this situation that's facing us. God is in control. I don't have to take that burden. I don't have to have anxiety, because I'm going to trust God, because he said cast all our cares on him. So I'm going to take all my burdens and give them to the Lord, and let the Lord deal with the virus and everything else that's going on, because that's his responsibility, because he promised. And I'm going to keep telling him what he promised, and I'm going to live so he can honor his promise to me, so I can see that he keeps his word, because I'm going to keep my word to him, and I'm going to work on keeping my word to him, so I know he's going to keep his. So as long as we do our part, we don't have to worry about the Lord. He's going to take care of us. We got to know that. We got to know it with confidence. We got to know it with a certainty that God is on our side. And if he is for us, he is more than the whole world against us. And anything that the devil can throw at us, God still got it covered. He got it covered.
Yes. God has got it covered. And that's just like with David. God always took care of David. God always took care of David. When I was studying, it said, God always took care of David. And I thought about somebody said to me one time, they said, the Lord always takes care of you. And when I think about that, sometimes I get a little frustrated. I say, the Lord always takes care of me. The Lord always takes care of each and every one of you on this line, those that will listen to it later, those that are right here on it now. God is taking care of you. Trust him in that. Trust that. He is taking care of you. You ain't got to be worried. You ain't got, Stop stressing about it. Give it over to the Lord. Whatever it is you're going through. Because some of you are going through some stuff for the coronavirus, COVID-19 started. So, but trust God that he's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you out. It might look weary. It might not look like it, but he is working all the time. He's working on your behalf. He's doing it for you. He's giving you what you need. He might be taking you through this because he got something greater for you to do. And those things that come to your heart and mind, some of us know on the inside of us that we got more to offer than what people are allowing us to do. You know it. You know you got more to offer. You know what's bubbling on the inside of you, and you know that. Trust God to bring that forth at this time. He's going to bring some people forth. He's going to launch some people into some things, and the ministries are going to come forth. Your businesses are going to come forth. We believe in that what we have will not fail. It will not fail. And that's what I'm saying. If we haven't done it prior to this, let us think about that thing like they was when Joseph came and he told them the vision about the famine, and then he told them the vision about the years of plenty. Let us begin to prepare ourselves so the next time no one doesn't take us off guard. We won't be taken off guard. And we're not now. We're really not now. We were prepared. God prepared us because he's in control. And whatever you don't have, God will see that you will have it. There are people passing, giving out water. There are people giving out stuff to churches. There are people now doing all kind of things. And even for the church, this is a time for the church to rethink, too, because if anybody should be prepared to help the community, it should be the church. And so these are times if we haven't been in that place, well, this is a time when we can start beginning to think differently and begin to get in that place so that when things come up again, we ready to go. And so this is a time, I think the Lord has given us this time to tell us some things. And so just like when the children of Israel was getting ready, prepared to go to the promised land, Moses got up and began to tell them about God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We have to accept the way God has chosen to work things out. That's what we got to do. We can't want it to work out on our own. You know, I told a testimony sometime ago, praise Lord Gina, praise Lord Leonard Moss, and I saw Trisheen on here today. Amen. God bless each and every one of you for coming on. I remember the time I told somebody about a car situation I was going through, and it wasn't ideal for me. It wasn't what I thought. I thought God should bless me with the job so that I can have the income to be able to do these things. But that wasn't the way he did it. He did it in a whole nother way, but he was still providing. Yes, praise the Lord, Ken, I was back. He was trusting. We got to trust and obey. That's what we got to do. I remember earlier this week, Pastor Crumpton, she saw a vision, and the Lord was praying, had her intercede to hold, I forgot what it's called now, but it's in Revelation, the 14th chapter. And the one thing, and I'm talking about this because what Ken just said, the one thing I got out of that chapter was, when I read Revelation 14, was that we have to trust God and we have to be obedient. Those are the things we have to do. If we stay in that place with God, we're going to be okay. Because I told you last week, Jeremiah 17, it said, blessed is the man. Jeremiah 17:7-8. It says, blessed with spiritual security is the man who believes and trusts in and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confident expectation is the Lord. He will be nourished like a tree planted by the water that spread out its roots by the river. And this is in the Amplified Bible. And will not fear the heat when it comes, but its leaves will be green and moist. and it will not be anxious and concerned in the year of drought, nor stop bearing fruit. That's what the Lord has promised to those that trust in him. Hold the sickle. Thank you, Denise. That's what she's talking about. Hold the sickle. And if you go over to Revelation 14, and she began to intercede for the hold the sickle. And I think that particular passage scripture talks about, you know, the Lord bringing his judgment and things like that. And so you have to read it. Y'all have to read that on your own, because I'm not going to talk about that because I ain't ready to talk about that. But anyway, but I was just talking about, but one thing I did read out of that when I was reading it and I looked in the commentary, it says to trust and obey. That's what it says. Praise the Lord, Sister Anderson. God bless you. And so we thank God for just for today and all of that. And yes, go ahead, El Timberlake.
Oh, I don't have anything. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Anyway, we just thank God for each and every one that you have joined on the line. If just be encouraged to trust in the Lord. God has got it. He is working it out on our behalf. The cure is coming, all of those things for all of those that are infected with the virus. God has got it. He's got it. He got it. He got it. Because if we pray, remember when David, let me go back to David again real quick. When David had messed up and he numbered the people, and God told him not to number the people, and God began, God told, he gave him three choices. He said, David, he said, what do you, how do you want your punishment? That's what he was basically telling him. And so David said he didn't want his enemy. He didn't want to run for his enemy. He didn't want to, it was something else I can't remember right now. I know I talked about it last week too. But anyway, he said he would rather be in the hands of the Lord. That's what he said. And so because of that, God sent a plague, and 76,000 people died because of that. But God had mercy because David began to ask God. You know, he began to seek God. And anyway, God had mercy, and he stopped it. He stopped it. So God will have mercy. Let us begin to pray. I went back to Chronicles 7 and 14. I think it's 2 Chronicles 7.
14.
And 14, yeah, when it talks about, you know, this is what we need to be doing as the people of God. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal the land. And I don't mean, I'm not saying that you yourself is wicked, but things are being, these are wicked things are going on in the earth. And so it's up to us, the people of God, to begin to petition God and pray. And I believe that just like David had that favor with God, he'll stop it. That's what I believe. I believe he has the same power as this, because he has all power in his hand. We got to remember that. So it's time for us to humble ourselves and pray and begin to seek God on the behalf of this country, on the behalf of this nation, and on the nations abroad of the world. Because the world is watching us. And we know that it says that the sons of God. What, I can't get the scripture quoted right now. I'm gonna have to look at it for the next time. But anyway, that the sons of the men are waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. Oh Lord, I don't have it in my memory. I got it part of. But anyway, I'm going on. So anyway, but if there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord in the pardon of your sins, and you want, you've heard the word of God today, and you want to give your life to the Lord. Maybe you was on another broadcast. You were saying, well, no, I didn't do it. I'm not in the building, so I'm not going to do it. But this is the opportunity for you to give your life to the Lord. We need God, and we need you to be in the right places. We need your lamp trimmed and burning bright. We don't want you to be left out if he comes. We want you to be your lamp trimmed and burning bright. So if you don't know the Lord, this is the opportunity if your heart is right. If you are ready to give your life to the Lord, then pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I confess that I am a sinner, and I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you promised me that I will be saved. So save me. Fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. So if I believe, if you were sincere in your heart and you prayed that prayer, that you are saved today, welcome to the family. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the family. And I'm telling you, find you a good Bible-believing teaching church. One of these pastors online until you were able to go back into the building. Find somebody online that you trust. There's so many. There's some good ones. They preach the gospel out there. So the gospel being preached every day, because I've been hearing some almost every day. So anyway, you find you a good Bible-believing teaching church to continue to help you on your journey to help you on your journey so that you can begin to get closer to God and you know, and be able to have this relationship with God, because you want a relationship with God. I'm telling you, it's been, I've loved every minute of it of my life that I've known God. And I've been saved for a long time, but I ain't dotted every I, crossed every T, but God has been merciful. I'm so thankful for his mercy and for his grace, and thank you for his son going to die on the cross for our sin. Jesus already did it. And now he's up there on the right hand of the Father making intercession. He's our propitiation. He's our intercessor. He's standing in the gap for us. So we got somebody on our head. Begin, and we want to be able to for you to get the Holy Spirit to be Holy Spirit, so that you can live, and the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth and teach you all things. This is what this promise is. El Timberlake, do you want to pray the final prayer?
Okay. Father God, we thank you for the word we've heard, God. We ask that you would touch everyone on the line, that you would bless them and encourage them, uplift them, keep their hearts, oh God. Do not let anyone be overwhelmed with whatever situation they're facing. God, we believe in you that all is well. We're trusting you with all our hearts. And we know, God, that you got us covered. You've got our back, God, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, and our hope is in you. It is not in what we see, but we are living by faith and knowing that he who has begun a good work in us shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God, you're good. Your word is good with us. You're proven yourself. Your record is 100% all right with us, God. And, God, we thank you for what you've already done. Now cover everybody. Bless them on the line, God. Bless those that have just accepted you as their Lord and Savior. God, let them find a Bible-believing church, a Bible-believing friend, somebody that can encourage them and keep them uplifted. God, we pray, God, that our hearts don't faint. God, like you told Peter, you'd already prayed that his heart wouldn't fail him. And so, God, we thank you that you're covering our hearts now, and you're keeping us until we're able to meet again. In Jesus' name, we thank you, and amen and amen.
Amen and amen. God bless each and every one of you that logged in, those that called in, those that listened to the broadcast on Facebook Live, those that will listen to it later. We pray God's speed over your life, and we thank God for everything. Join us back here next week on the Proximate Souls broadcast as we continue. We're going to try to wrap trust up because we got to get to commitment. And then Ella Timberlake got to come back and finish humility. So we got stuff to do. We're trying to get through this series. It's been a long series. But anyway, we're going to keep going until the Lord says something different. God bless each and every one of you. God bless you, Felicia, and everybody. And Martha Taylor, God bless all of you all in the name of Jesus. I'm so excited. Okay, let me get off here because you know I've been excited the whole time. Anyway, God bless you. God bless you.
Good night.
I know what I'm excited.
Welcome to the Proximate Souls broadcast.